Good evening.
Hello.
Hello. We're on episode 15 now of Owl and Fowl's Norwich City Football Club We Meet Again series. We're doing another Monday night recording. We've got some football on in the background, haven't we, Fowl?
Burnley versus Tottenham, a classic.
Any Norwich connections there?
Yeah, there's thingy, isn't it? Left winger. What do you call him? Irish lad.
Brady.
Yeah, that's right, Brady.
Is he playing, is he?
I can't see him on the pitch, not been paying that much attention. I presume it's, I don't even know if he's still there, to be fair.
Harry Kane, does he count?
And Harry Kane as
one
well.
One of our own.
Yeah, absolutely he counts. And he's done all right since, I don't know if we'd call his loan period of us particularly successful.
No, I think he played 6 games for us, of which 3 were coming off the bench. I don't think there was any goals.
He started the game against Luton in the FA Cup and looked pretty terrible, actually. although he wasn't the only one. My beloved David Fox looked pretty ropey that day. And we didn't get close to Luton that day.
Well, you managed to somehow do this trick with Coventry and you've repeated it again this time round.
Oh, Luton, is that who we're doing, is it?
Fowl claims that he doesn't know the episode we're going to be doing and then he drops a little cheeky little bombshell in like that.
Well, that's absolutely
mentions
true.
The club. And kind of kills the anticipation.
There's a big stat with Luton and Norwich, isn't there, in the FA Cup?
Yeah.
I'll keep waiting that one in.
You can unravel that in the next 5 minutes or so. We're sticking with the football. Do you think we should expand this once the season's over? We've think about cricket. Maybe we can move on to politics, sociology.
Why not?
Music.
Music, yeah. Well, I've always up for music. Movies. We Meet Again movies. How does that work? Tom Hanks has been reunited with, well, I don't know, Ben Stiller or something. Yeah, I mean, I'm all up for that. Yeah, definitely.
Brilliant. The world's our oyster, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But as yet, it's not quite the depths of winter, is it? But the clocks have gone back.
It's all of a sudden feels autumnal now, very autumnal, doesn't
it? Yeah, for the first time I drove to Fowl's house today, so that's a sign where the weather's beginning to turn. Which, going off topic a bit, but do you like that period in terms of the football season? So I quite like it when the nights draw in a bit and the games start coming thick and fast. It becomes a bit more meaning to them in terms of the league sorted itself out.
Yeah.
Or are you a fan of those hot summer days and the T-shirts in end of August, September?
Obviously, being a massive football fan, I actually feel like when the season comes around, it all feels like it gets earlier every season, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't, I know, but it just sort of almost feels like it. Or sometimes when I'm watching and it's like 28, 30 degrees in August, brilliant sunshine, I'm thinking, I can't quite get into it. It feels like I should be watching cricket. It feels like cricket season to me. So, no, I do quite. This feels like football weather, doesn't it?
Would you like football to be a summer sport?
No, I like it as it is. I think it's great like it is. And I love wrapping up warm to walk down to the ground in. It feels proper, doesn't it? I'm with you. When the night's drawing.
I suppose the end of season.
Yeah, in the season when it's climaxing and it's hot and stuff, that's great.
Yeah.
It's just in August, so sometimes, especially when you get kind of like a World Cup or a Euros, or it's all of a sudden like it's just relentless, isn't it? It's just like, oh, hang on, football season back again. It's like, well, all right, brilliant, especially the Championship.
You made a good point there. How's it going to pan out when the World Cup's in the winter next time round? That's going to be an odd season, isn't it?
It's going to be, the Euros are going to be odd this time round because I don't know when the season's scheduled to finish this year, but it obviously started quite late.
Hmm.
So then we've got Crowbar Euros in. Then it'll be 2022's it's Qatar, and that's going to be a funny old season.
And that's November? Is it December?
I don't know. I know it's winter time, so it should maybe be about 45 degrees for them to play in. Good luck, lads.
Yes. So that's another World Cup we're not going to do well at. How's that going to work? Is the season going to get postponed for a winter's break, is it? Or
yeah, I presume so. And it'll just work its way into the summer at either end. I presume we get like an extra couple of weeks beforehand, and next couple of weeks.
I guess COVID's probably helped on that aspect in that we've gone away from the norm. So it's almost, it'll just be like something else that's a bit different. Whereas I think it would have been a bit of a culture shock, wouldn't it, if we'd just gone into it from our sort of normal calendar.
I guess so, yeah. We've experienced what a break is like now.
Yeah.
But I mean, I personally don't even like an international break in a season. So having a 6-week break for the World Cup's going to be a real, dream.
Yeah, although you have got World Cup games that are slightly more watchable than the international breaks, aren't they?
Assuming England get there, which obviously we should do, being semi-finalists last time round, but you never quite know England, do you?
That's it. So do you know who we got next for episode 15?
Yeah, Luton. I spoiled a surprise, didn't I?
You did. The Hatters for Bedfordshire, Luton Town. I put here my first sentence that I'm sure they used to be covered as a, inverted commas, local team on Look East, didn't they? Do you remember that when you were growing up?
They did, yeah. They were
never
always
quite really got it.
No, there's kind of a bit desperate to crowbar another team into East Anglia, weren't they? but yeah, they always were, weren't they? I remember them being reported on.
Did that mean you had a bit more of an affinity to them?
No, similar to Coventry, although a bit more understandable with Luton. I don't remember too many encounters with them.
Yes. Do you remember the last one?
Well, I presume it was that FA Cup game.
It was, yeah. Yeah, do you want to wield out your step?
So we were certainly at the time the only Premier League team to have lost to a non-league team in the FA Cup.
Yeah.
I think they might have been equaled. I think someone else has done it since we did it. Possibly, but definitely at the time we're the only team to have done it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think whether someone has managed to hit that low point. I'm not too sure. And certainly, there's been non-league sides that have knocked out Division 1 clubs. So
yeah,
top flight clubs. So Sutton famously beat Coventry back in 88. Then came to our place and we beat them 8-0. But yeah, did you go to that game?
Yeah, I did.
What was your memories of it then? Or what was, firstly, approaching the game, what were your expectations? Was it a shock for you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, you went to it expecting to win.
We didn't go down that season.
No, we stayed up.
Yeah. Is there the argument that we achieved the goal that year and maybe knocking on an FA Cup run helped us stay up? I don't believe that personally.
But. Yeah, no, I don't know how much evidence. It's always one of those things about concentrating the league. I think the bigger issue is that we had a very changed team to play that Luton game.
Yeah.
And
can you remember how many first teamers were out for that game?
No, I can't remember. But there's a lot of players. I remember David Fox starting that game. He was obviously a Lambert stalwart. And
yeah,
one of my boys was David Fox.
Yeah, you like fave. Foxy, don't you?
Yeah, and he was kind of pushed out with under Houghton. And I remember him playing, and I really wanted to impress, and he didn't really that game. I remember Harry Kane coming in and pretty poor.
That's a strange one, yeah.
Yeah, I think Leon Barnett played, maybe. I can't remember. It was just one of those games where we just never got really into it.
Did they look better than a conference side?
They certainly looked up for it. They looked like they really meant business. They played well and deserved the win. We never... It's one of those games, you kind of feel it when the teams go into it. They feel they're going to win the game.
Yeah.
They feel they're going to roll them over. And actually, when the thing is... don't quite go your way, you can see it's really hard to change that mentality. It's really hard to sort of click into that next gear, isn't it?
Yeah.
And they were snapping at their heels.
It was second half they scored though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't often go to the FA Cup games just because of time restrictions of work, but I did go to that one.
But you remember saying, that's it, I'm not going to another FA Cup.
That was it, job done. No, I just remember them really fighting hard against it. I remember actually, it's the only time I've seen a fight at Cow Road, and it was the most hilarious fight ever.
What, on the pitch or off the pitch?
No, it was off the pitch. I was walking around to the game because basically I sit in the upper Barclay, you know where I sit.
Yeah.
And I always tend to go down, so my sister and dad, they sit in the, I won't say the Jared stand, but it's not been the Jared stand for a while now, is it?
Yeah, old safe stand.
Yeah. And so we normally go down to where the food trucks
are. I know what you mean.
And then I wander past the away fans.
Yeah.
Round past the hotel to the upper Barclay block. And never have a problem. Obviously, any day I can't do that. So when it's there, it's all fenced off. Other than that, wander through, no worries at all. But it was actually, as I was going round that, past that thin hedgeway, round where the hotel is, there was a massive Luton Town fan who was absolutely blasted. He was a really big lad. And, you know, to be fair to him, he was just bumbling through life. And obviously, this young Norwich City lad who was, who'd obviously got a bee in his bonnet about him, was decided it was like having a fight with him. And this lad must have been about 9 stone. It was the biggest mismatch in history. And so this young lad was swinging punches at him and hitting him, whatever. This Luton fan didn't even notice. It was like, it was just bouncing off him. And like the police were quite hot on the scene. And the police sort of like wandered straight over, basically like picked up the Norwich fan by the scruff of his neck. It was like, are you serious? I mean, what are you doing, mate? Yeah. And it was so, that's the only...
Your highlight of that.
That was the best part of the day, yeah. There was a Luton fan who was also in the upper Barclay, actually.
Yeah.
Who celebrated like crazy and started giving it to Vigan when they scored. Don't entirely blame him, actually, but he then obviously got chucked out for that. So
they must have taken quite a lot there. I mean, they probably filled their inflated allocation, I'd have thought.
I guess so. And I guess that's why we ended up with a Luton fan in the upper Barclay, I guess.
Yeah.
So I presume I must have taken an allocation. And you get quite a big allocation, don't you?
You do. You get, is it 20%, 10% capacity?
It's much bigger than it is in the league game, isn't it? And so I don't actually remember, but I would have thought they did. Obviously fairly local, and it's a non-league size chance to...
How disappointed were you at the end? Where you almost, well, it's the FA Cup. It's, I can take that.
Probably. I mean...
Or it's we played a weakened side. And
I mean, it's pretty shocking that we didn't beat a non-league side, isn't it? So you've got to be disappointed with that. I mean, personally...
I think the level of ridicule we got wasn't that huge. I think, like, I remember Coventry, when they lost to Sutton, that was like headline news. The Sutton goal scorers that they were being dragged onto primetime Friday night TV on, like, Wogan chat shows and stuff like that. Things have changed with the FA Cup, sadly. Yeah. You know, we both agree on that. Almost, I can't remember there being that much media coverage and that much ridicule. And, you know, it was a shock, clearly.
Yeah, no, there wasn't really. I mean, was I disappointed? Yeah, you've got to be disappointed, but I wasn't that disappointed. But
I'm sure you got over it by next week, haven't you?
I wasn't crying myself to sleep at night, which is a shame because it's the FA Cup and it's something that a team of our size has got a genuine chance of winning.
Yeah.
So the fact that there's so many changes was frustrating. I just think, you know, and I'm sure we've spoken about this on the podcast before, but you look at Wigan, that day out, the fact they got relegated that season, I don't think there's too many fans that would have changed that FA Cup win.
Yeah, I would open up the final Champions League spot to the FA Cup winners.
Me too.
That's another factor. I think for Luton, also, because they'd had such a terrible time, they were relegated, sort of consecutive seasons, dropped down to the conference. Do you remember they got massive sort of points deductions, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. And that was for financial, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was going into administration or financial irregularities.
I always think it was harsh because the people who did it just bugger off and go find themselves another club somewhere, don't they, whatever. I get you've got to try and stop it. I do get it. And I'm not sure what else the FA or the Premier League or the Championship rivers can do about it. But it's the fans that suffer, isn't it? Yeah. And it's, they're the ones who just turn up every week trying to watch a team play.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, you couldn't begrudge Luton their sort of big day out after what they've gone through. We played them as equals in the Southern League, Division 3, safe, Division 2, or the Championship, and Division 1. You know, there may have been a gap of five divisions between us on that day, but we had been in the same league on many occasions in our history.
Oh, and I remember Luton being a top flight side, yeah.
Yeah. Biggest game, maybe of all time, certainly up to that point, was against Luton. You've heard about the famous 1959 FA Cup run?
Yes, yeah, Giant Killers.
Giant Killers, yeah. Division 3 safe side. We would have been the first Division 3 side to have played in an FA Cup final if we got all the way, but we stumbled at the final hurdle. We lost in the semi-final, and it was Luton that we lost to. Well, we beat Manchester United and Spurs in that cup run, big, you know, Division 1 clubs. And, yeah, Luton in the semi-final. I mean, they were a Division 1 club, so it wasn't necessarily a shock. But we drew the first game 1-1, and then they beat us in the replay. They got relegated the following year when we got promoted, so we were actually in the same league the year after we doubled them, so there probably wasn't that much of a gap. One of these shocking statistics fell, so Hall of Famer Bobby Brennan's goal in the first game is still, to date, the only Norwich City goal scored in the FA Cup semi-final. We've obviously played a couple more since then, but we didn't score in either of those. We've talked many a time about our underachievement in that competition, haven't we?
Yeah, regrettably.
You don't know much about the 59 Cup run?
Not really.
What's in sort of folklore?
No, I remember like Ben Roeder was in charge for like the 50th anniversary, wasn't he?
They did some sort of special event, did they?
I think they had a 59er celebration. I'm sure this is correct.
Would you have gone?
I think I was at the game.
I have noticed you do support these special events, don't you?
I like to see it, yeah. But I'm sure that they had a 50th anniversary for it. And I think we...
Yeah, it would have been 2009, which is the year we went down, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's it. So, and that's when, in the FA Cup game, Broder got sacked, I think.
Yeah.
So I think there's a bit of symmetry there, a bit of, you know, celebrating our brilliant cup success by losing in the cup and getting their manager sacked.
Cup misery there. In the league, like I say, we played them in our first ever season as a professional club in 1905. Luton had the upper hand in those early days, and we had a 7-1 thrashing at their place in 1931-32. There's a player connection that I'm not even going to ask you to guess, Phil. He goes way back into the mists of time.
Okay.
But he's a Hall of Famer called Jack Finnell. Or I might have mispronounced that. Finnell. He was our main goal scorer when we were first in Division 2. He scored 80 goals in 181 appearances for Norwich. Wow. Puts him fifth on the all-time list. He then joined Luton from us. I'm not quite sure why we're selling our star players to Luton. And then he scored a hat-trick against us the following season. Do you think he celebrated?
I hope so.
They didn't celebrate back then anyway, did they?
Probably just, you know, do you want a good shot, old boy?
Yeah, slap in the back and a stiff handshake.
Yeah.
So I dug out our top goal scorers, and there's a chap called Johnny Gavin who's top on 132. And then we got Terry Alcock on 127, who was part of that 59 Cup run. Do you know who's third? We mentioned him, actually, in one of the earlier podcasts.
Or was it Ewan Roberts?
Ewan Roberts, yeah. Third on 96. Flecky is fourth on 84.
Okay. Then must be Grant Holt.
No, and then it's Jack Final.
Okay. Oh, right, 80. Okay. Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, yeah, they said it, obviously, yeah.
And then who was after him?
Dion Dublin. No, Grant Holt.
Grant Holt on 78. Yeah, two fairly recent players in that list. Seems quite low, though, doesn't it? You hear a lot of clubs, their top goal scorers are on like 200-odd goals, aren't they? Why do you think it's so low for Norwich, and why hasn't it been broken?
Is it
because we're a selling club?
I think that's part of it, yeah. I think it's maybe reflective of our position. I know, like, for example, Jimmy Greaves at Tottenham scored about 4,005, didn't he, goals? But Tottenham were a big side back then. Where do you go to from there? I think Norwich, we've never been a dominant force, have we? Like, I mean, even like Grant Holt, he wasn't with us for that long, was he, relatively? No. You know, I mean, Pookie's not going to be with us.
I mean, he's the name that springs to mind, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who else we've got up front at the moment. Adam Ida, he's young, isn't he?
So Adam Ida, I mean, is showing sparks. Maybe he can hit like 20, 30 goals a season. If he gets 20, 25 goals for us this season and we don't go up, then he won't be with us next season. That's obviously the problem we've got.
Pookie's the one, though, because he's reached that age where he may have missed the boat.
Adam Ida?
No, Pookie.
Pookie. Yeah, Pookie. So Pookie's the one he'd like to stay with us longest, but I don't think his career is going to be long enough to break.
So what's he on at the moment?
I don't know. It must be sort of 40-odd goals, I'd guess, that, something
well,
like that.
How many did he score in his first season? That was 30, wasn't it?
I think it's 29, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so, and then he got 11 or 12 in the Premier League.
Yeah.
I presume this includes cup goals as well.
I'm just looking at Wikipedia. So he's got 42 goals for us and 86 appearances.
But he needs to double, more than double that, doesn't he?
Yeah, more than double it.
Get 29 this year.
Yeah. So he'll be well on the way, but I mean, how old is he now? I mean, it's 30, so he's got a few seasons left in him, you know. So whether he can rediscover that goal scoring form, there's no reason why he shouldn't, actually. He's a very good player.
Yeah.
I personally think there's a bit of fake news floating around about him being how poor he was last season. I think he just didn't get much service. Yeah. And also, towards the end of the season, he looked injured to me.
Yeah. Obviously, we're recording this a few weeks behind when it's released, but his goal against Wickham the other day was proper good finish, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Do you think he'll get 20 plus this year?
Yeah, I reckon he'll be up there. I reckon he'll be 15 plus. Yeah. I think everyone keeps fit, seems to be dropping slightly further back, but obviously he still seems to be scoring goals.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I think it's been beaten because we're a selling side and, you know, if they get good enough, they move on.
Exactly. And all right, you look at Ewan on 96. He was one player that probably came sort of more latter in his career. So he wasn't one that was going to get sold on. He also scored in struggling sides.
Yeah. And you're surprised he actually scored that many. But Ewan Roberts is up. Again, I remember us signing him from Wolves. And he was, I remember being very excited about him, really rated him. But didn't quite click in that first season, did he?
No.
Took him a season, really, to bed in. But then after that, he really found his feet. And you need one of those players where you just know they're going to be there season in, season out.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, and they've got to be injury free, haven't they?
Exactly. And it's just hard for that to happen. And you get every now and then you get a player like that. Like Wes Houlihan, obviously not in terms of goal scoring, but he was that player just at us at the right time.
Yeah.
We kind of evolved with him and he didn't need to move on anywhere.
I guess if we'd got Grant Holt in a few years earlier.
Yeah, but then again, if Grant Holt came to us when he's the same age as me, basically. So when he's 28, 29, when he joined us, wasn't he? So if we'd signed him when he was 24 and he scores 30-odd goals in a season,
yeah,
he's going to be a bit more of a serious England prospect
and
goes to an Everton or somewhere, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's almost a vicious circle, isn't it?
Yeah.
132, can you see it being beaten? It's difficult, isn't it, sitting here?
It's attainable, isn't it? But all you need is...
Harry Kane's got more than that for Spurs now, hasn't he?
Well, exactly. But, you know, Harry Kane, I mean, arguably he could move on to bigger or better things, but the pool of choices is much smaller for him now, isn't it, to move on to. I don't know. We need to be kind of like almost where Leicester are, not quite Leicester, but sort of grind out sort of 7 or 8 seasons in the Premier League. You know, get someone who's going to be there scoring 20 goals a season, and it can happen.
I mean, you need 20 goals a season, don't you, over 5 or 6 seasons to get near that.
Well, 7 really, yeah, exactly.
That's,
quite. So it's a big ask, so it's going to take some beating.
We mentioned that we both played in the the top flight, Division One. We went up 1981-82 and were joined by them. They were actually the champions that season. So the first top flight meeting, 28th of December 1982, and a 1-0 win at Norwich. They actually got relegated the year before the Premier League was launched.
Okay.
And I always feel a bit sorry for clubs who fell down that season. It's obviously things could have turned out very differently if they'd managed to keep their head above water.
Yeah.
Although there wasn't the money in the game then, so maybe it wouldn't have made much difference, sort of thinking of Oldham.
Yeah.
Who did manage to do that. One game that sticks out in that period, 11th October 1986, there's a 0-0 draw at Kenilworth Road on the plastic. Do you remember the plastic pitch?
I do remember it. Yeah, I remember it, just, again, it's slightly before my time, but yeah, the bounce was always a thing, wasn't it? Yeah, that seemed to have caught players out.
Well, I think technology's moved on a lot these days with synthetic turf, but I think that was just like playing on concrete.
Yeah.
Almost.
I do remember sort of like reports in the news and that sort of thing about, no, this isn't really football.
It's not a bit like the hockey pitches you play on, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was exactly like that. And also, like, it made slide tackles and that sort of thing very hard to do, or impossible to do, really.
And it goes back to, we were talking about home advantage a few episodes ago, and that's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you train in, you're used to playing on that and use that to your advantage.
Big time.
Would you like to see more artificial surfaces in football
now
that technology's developed?
I'm going to be honest with you, it's something I've spent very little time thinking about or caring about. No, I think the thing is that also technology's improved so much on grass pitches now. Like,
linesmen, you don't need so
good.
Turf,
not linesmen, sorry, groundsmen. Yeah, exactly. They're so good now. I mean, you just don't see the bad pitches anymore, do you? Like, you look back at like classic Match of the Days from the 70s and 80s. Like, by the time it got to, like, December, January time, it was just mud, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
But you look at the pitches now, generally, they're all fine, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, really good.
You look at Carrow, you're just dying to get on that turf, aren't
you? Yeah. I don't know that some teams do use, like, a synthetic weave, but it's an effectively turf, and it's working fine.
Yeah.
Ain't broke, don't fix it, in my opinion.
Excellent. That's a man speaking sense over there. That 0-0 draw that we got in October 86, it took us to the summit of English football. So it took us top of Division One at the time. That's the first time ever that we'd reached that position. Shame we can never hold on to it, isn't it?
Yeah,
so we finished fifth that season, and Luton finished seventh. Then moving on to an away trip to Kenilworth Road, 13th August 1995. It's our first game back in Division Two, or the second tier, since Leeds almost a decade earlier in 1986. It was live on Anglia.
Really?
Remember they had that little period?
Yeah,
in the 90s, where they used to show games on a Sunday.
Yeah, I do remember that
afternoon.
Yeah.
So two John Newson headers and a Neil Adams finish.
Oh, I like Neil Adams. He's a good player, quality player.
Yeah. New manager, Martin O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
A very pleasant change after the relegation from the Premier League the year before, where we'd had a dismal run of consecutive defeats. Do you know that sort of feeling?
Yeah, I do. I remember it happening, actually. I think we lost to Leeds in that lot, didn't we? Got us relegated, if I remember rightly, something like that. Yeah, I do remember that. I remember Martin O'Neill taking over. I think we've probably talked about this, haven't we? On a Wickham podcast. And it was a short but promising period.
Yeah, and it was a false dawn, sadly. So I remember watching that game on Anglia, and we were so dominant, and you thought, we're just going to bounce straight back up. Do you like that first game of the season? We've talked about it before, and we had that expectation, that hope. New grounds to visit. The sun's still out. We've got new signings that we think are going to be the next sort of Lionel Messi.
This is it. I always think that first game of the season, or first home game anyway, because it's always really exciting. It's an element of it that doesn't matter, like because it's the first game of the season. You've got the
entire
season.
It's a free hit, isn't it? Yeah.
Got the entire season to get it back. There's always that element of wanting to see the new signings.
Like,
can't wait to see, you know, Julien Brellier, how good he is. Those sort of players, and it always turn out to be never a good as you think, or rarely do.
But you don't find that out until sort of October, November time, do you?
A few games down the road. And invariably the first game of the season is always never quite. The actual game itself rarely lives up to hope, does it?
Yeah, final thoughts, really. I remember we were 4-0 down at one point to them at half time during Nigel Worthington's tenure, when it was starting to all go wrong for poor Nigel. A few connections. Do you remember Chrissy Martin and Michael Spillane? Do you remember that name?
Spillane, yeah, I do remember.
They were both sent there to kickstart their careers. They went down there for loan spells.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not sure what happened to Spillane.
He was used quite a bit, wasn't he?
Quite highly rated, wasn't he?
He looked like he was going to be promising. I remember him featuring in the Paul Lambert League One season at times.
Yeah.
Can't really remember what happened. I think Russell Martin displaced him, I think, I presume. The last time I saw him, I think he was playing for Lowestoft. So.
Okay.
Yeah, he never sort of disappeared a bit, really. But we've got a couple of other fullbacks, haven't we, with Luton connections, I presume.
Go on in. Do you know this?
I think one of them is Max Ahrens, and the other one is mate Jamal Lewis.
It was definitely Jamal Lewis. Yeah. What's Ahrens?
I think got so.
Luton connections.
I think he's also from Luton's. I'll check that out.
I know Jamal Lewis is definitely plucked from Luton's academy.
Yeah, so was Max Ahrens as well. So
okay.
There's not many players that have had both, you know, Luton and potentially Barcelona on their CV. So
that's it, yeah. Well, I think there's probably one.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty impressive. I can't think of any other player connections off the top of my head. But obviously, yeah, those two. And it did, certainly from Chrissy Martin's perspective, it did kickstart his career. I think he came back to Norwich and really kicked on.
Yeah, it looks a good player.
Unfortunately, it didn't quite work out for Michael Spillane. Well, are you going to go on the scores?
Well, I remember this one other memory I've got of Luton is a lovely King of Spain free kick.
Yes.
I can't really remember what sort of season that was in, though. So in terms of score predictions, I think last time I went forward, I think we're clicking into gear now. I'm feeling confident. I'm feeling with Timu's back on fire. Well, I'm going to go 4-0. I'm going to go 4-0 again.
Okay. Just do that every week. It's going to land all week, isn't it? I think they're having a decent start to the season, actually, Luton. They just about stayed up last year. I think it's going to be a 2-1.
Yeah.
To Norwich.
2-1 to Norwich.
Excellent. Well, thank you for listening. Obviously, you can get in touch with us on the Twitter page, won't they, Phil?
Yeah.
Well, I'll give you Phil's mobile number out
if
I can find it.
Yeah.
And as I say, you can read the articles in My Football Writer each week. They come out in correspondence with the podcast. And we'll catch up with you soon. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye.